Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to be here tonight. And we are going to pray like we always do because it's so important that God is with us in everything we do here. If God's not here with us, there's no point in us being here. So we are going to call out to Him right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee once again for this opportunity to come together in Thy name, to worship Thee, to praise Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would inspire us this night to truly worship Thee, O God, in spirit and in truth. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. I pray, O God, that Thou would come and be with us and let Thy Spirit be with us. Let Thy Holy Ghost be upon us. Help us to know Thee better, to get close to Thee this night, O God. And I pray, O God, that everything we do here this night would be done according to Thy perfect will and Thy perfect plan. Let Thy presence be here with us, I pray. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Well, let's just praise the Lord tonight. Let's start with number 11 in the chorus book. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just
praise the Lord, praise.
go to number 124 and sing the garment of praise, number 124. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness, lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness. Lift up your voice to best thing you can do when you're feeling the heaviness of the world. Put on that garment of praise. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 44 and sing, Give Unto the Lord. Number 44.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. The glory to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord
go to number 28 and sing, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Number 28.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. But Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus came here. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free.
Well, we're going to go now to the Melodies of Praise hymnal. I have a song in mind. I need to just double check the number. Yes, number 71 in our Melodies of Praise hymnal, Joy Unspeakable. Praise the Lord.
Oh,
Glory to God. Let's go to 207 and sing the Hallelujah side, number 207. Praise the Lord. Once a sinner far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold, but the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his robe around me and he led me to his fold, and I'm living on the Hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the Hallelujahs roll. Help me bring my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the Hallelujah side. Though the world may sweep around me with her dazzle and her dreams, yet I envy not her vanities and pride. For my soul looks up to heaven where the golden sunlight gleams, and I'm living on the Hallelujah side. Precious place, though a tempter to persuade me oft has tried. For I'm safe in God's pavilion, happy in His love and grace, and I'm living on the Hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the Hallelujahs roll. Help me ring my Savior's praises far and wide. There's no place for gloomy Christians to abide. My soul is filled with music and my heart with great delight, and I'm living on the Hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the Hallelujahs roll. Help me ring my Savior's praises far and wide. For I'm opened up toward heaven, my soul, and I'm living on the Hallelujah side. And upon the streets of glory, when we reach the other shore, and have safely crossed the Jordan's rolling tide, you will find me shouting glory just outside my mansion door, where I'm living on the Hallelujah side. Help me ring my Savior's praises far and wide. For I'm opened up toward heaven, all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the Hallelujah side. Oh, Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Matt, would you mind helping with that?
Sure.
Thank you, sir. Praise God. Thank you. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee for thy many abundant blessings. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast given us, for we know that it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we are here tonight. We thank thee for this building. We thank thee for thy provisions. We thank thee for the resources thou hast given us so that we may carry thy gospel message far and wide. We are so thankful, O God, and we pray that thou would continue to lead us, guide us, direct us in all things. Give us great wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy glory, for we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And we're going to go back to the chorus book to finish up here tonight before we get started with our Bible study. And, you know, it is such a wonderful thing to be in the presence of the Lord, and I can feel His presence here tonight.
Yeah.
I know that He is here with us. So let's sing number 26 in the chorus book, In His Presence, number 26. In His presence, there's fullness of joy at His right. I know I've said this before, but it is so amazing how quickly time goes when you're worshiping the Lord. So we are going to get started with the Bible study here tonight. Let's see what God has laid on Shirley's heart. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's wonderful to be here again. It's wonderful to feel the Lord, as Samuel was saying, how it is when the presence of the Lord comes down. I just think of it so often, because I've just known that, you know, when you're God's presence, all other things dissolve. You know, the cares, the troubles, even the pain, all the things that sometimes interrupt our lives and bring us all kinds of emotions and all kinds of fears and all kinds of trouble. But, you know, you get into God's presence, and, you know, all that peace that passes all understanding, that joy, that hope, and, you know, we get our minds on the Lord and all the good things that He's prepared for those that love Him. And I just know it's a wonderful blessing. And praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm very glad we could gather here tonight and have this special time here together. Thankful for everybody online that, you know, the Lord has brought us all together into heavenly places, that we can worship, that we can praise our Lord, and we could look into His Word. It's a wonderful blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're just glad, too, that Brother Matt has come to join us, and it's been good to have his fellowship. We're just looking for his baptism on Sunday and whatever all the Lord is going to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we can come before thee, Lord. God, we know that we are but dust of this earth, Lord. And oh, God, oh, Lord, we're in this world, this moment, and oh God, yet you have given us much to look forward to. Oh God, much hope deep within, Lord. And oh God, we know that you have the answers for every situation. Oh God, every burden, oh God, every need, oh Lord, every pain, oh Lord, every undertaking. There is nothing too hard for you. We just ask, oh Lord, tonight that you'd work in our hearts. Oh God, that you would bind, oh Lord, everything, oh Lord, that needs to be bound, oh Lord. Oh God, the heartaches, the sorrow, the pain, Lord Jesus. Oh God, the burdens, the things that need to be given to you, Lord. Oh God, we come to you, Lord, asking that you'd work here tonight, Lord. Oh God, that you'd bind the strong man that would come to interfere and hinder, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that you give us freedom to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Oh God, that you'd move in us, Lord Jesus. That you change us, God. Oh God, help us not to fear. Help us not to worry, God. Help us to give it over to you, Lord. Oh God, help us not to mind what man may think, Lord. But God, I pray, oh God, that, oh God, we would be in that place where, oh Lord, where your approval is upon us and your favor. Oh God, that we can rejoice in our salvation, Lord. Oh God, for you have wrought it with a very great price. Oh God, you bought us, oh God, with a very great price, Lord. We ask, oh Lord, that you move in our hearts tonight, Lord. Oh God, we surely do need you, Lord. And ask that you'd work in Jesus' name. Oh God, give the strength, oh Lord, the unction, Lord. Oh God, the anointing that is needed here tonight, oh Lord. And bring forth, oh Lord, what you'd have us to hear. Oh Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name and praise thee, Lord. Oh God, knowing that truly without you we could do nothing. Oh God, and we stand here in thy presence asking for thy help. In the mighty name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. It is good to be here. I'll say praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 43 to begin here tonight. And see how the Lord might direct this. Isaiah chapter 43. Praise the Lord. Oh, so many wonderful places to go. But this is for starts here tonight. We have been redeemed by our Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start with the first verse here. Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Oh, the love that the Lord has for his people, I'll say. It's a wonderful thing, you know, the ransom that he paid, that we might have eternal life, that we might be his children. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. So in verse 5 he says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Oh, I love how the Lord calls his people. You know, it's going to be a joyful day when we gather around the throne. You know, people from every tribe and nation, kindred, oh, tongue, all gathered around the throne, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. God bringing forth his people, and nothing is going to hold us back when he says to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Oh, what a moment that's going to be. Oh, yes, as God gathers his people together. And it says in verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name. Oh, praise the Lord. He puts his name upon us. We go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. He puts that name upon our hearts, our souls. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Oh, God has made us for his glory, for his purpose. He formed us. He put that within us so that we might be his own peculiar treasure, that we might be his sons and his daughters. Says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Oh, yes, those that can hear the word of life. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be one after me. Oh, wow, he's God. It always has been and always will be. And there's not another that can ever, ever take his place. That must mean that Jesus Christ is God. Amen. It says in verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's just such a wonderful thing, what God has done for his people. How he brought us forth out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, I tell you what, there's nothing like that. Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And I love this whole chapter. It's hard to stop. I love the chapters after it. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to call this message, with the help of the Lord, Bring Forth Their Witnesses. And I believe I will stop there in Isaiah 43. But it does declare in verse 9 that all the nations be gathered together. Oh, that day when all stand before the Lord, all the people are assembled. And then it says, who among them can declare this and show us former things? Oh my, let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. You know, there's a lot of unbelievers in this world right now. There's a lot of people that deny Jesus Christ, don't want anything to do with the way that he has declared the truth of his word. But I'll tell you what, there is that day coming when, oh, every eye is going to see him and behold him and recognize him. Oh, yes, and it tells us that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You know, they're going to know at that moment, no matter what they may have said while they were on this earth. And there's going to be a witness that needs to shine at that moment when it's all before the Lord. It's either going to be justification or it's otherwise going to be condemnation. They're going to hear, though, and say, it is truth. They're going to know that moment. Oh, yes, when he bursts forth, they're going to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. We can say even now that we are his witnesses. And the servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand. See, there's a progress there. To know him, to believe, and to understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, our wonderful God. Let's also now go to John, the 5th chapter. And before I guess, fully elaborate on that chapter, I want to declare just how important it is to have witnesses. I know if we were to go before a jury or a judge, there was a case that was to be tried, what the witnesses declared would make a difference. It would, you know, be very important that they would either verify or nullify that person's testimony, or, you know, the thing that is being on the stand, the thing that is to be judged. The witnesses would have something to say, and it would make a difference if all things were done honestly and righteously. And of course, it was important in the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 1, Paul is writing and he said, this is the third time that I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it was also emphasized the need. If there was a case that came before Moses or whoever they were bringing this person before, that they would have to have witnesses. One was not enough. One witness was not sufficient. The case could be thrown out if there was only one witness. There had to be two or three in order for things to be seen as right or wrong. And it was emphasized Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, and also in the 19th chapter. And again, just one witness would not do. So as we come to John, the 5th chapter, and I was here last week, but interestingly enough, I did the first half of the chapter last week, and I'm going to do the second half right now. You just never know how God's going to do it. But anyway, also in the life of Jesus Christ, there were witnesses that verify that he was and is the Son of God. So let's look at this chapter. There's five witnesses that bared witness that Jesus Christ was sent from God, and that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. So let's look here at verse 30 here, John the 5th chapter. I can of my own self do nothing, Jesus said. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. See, there again, we go back to the fact that one witness was not sufficient. And it wasn't just Jesus coming to this world and self-proclaiming himself to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Christ. But it was verified by witnesses. And here it tells us in verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. And indeed, John was a true witness of Jesus Christ. If we go to the first chapter of John, and I will be going back to the 5th chapter, Lord willing. But the first chapter of John verifies how John came as a witness, to bear witness of the light, it tells us. If we look at verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He came to bear testimony that Jesus Christ was a Savior. It says in verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now here it was in verse 10, it says, he was in the world, speaking of the Lord Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Oh, what irony. Here he was, the Creator. Oh, yes, walking this earth among men, his own creation. But yet the world didn't know him. What irony. Then it says beyond that in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But thank God in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I thank God that gives you and I, oh yes, that power, that ability to become the sons of Jesus Christ, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, if we're born again, which it indicates in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, that new birth, when we're born again of the water and of the Spirit. And then it tells us in verse 14, oh, it identifies who the Word was. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of a Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, praise the Lord. That word that was in the beginning, as it tells us in the very first verse of this chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3 tells us all things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Sounds like the Creator to me. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. But here it tells us in verse 14, that one who was the Word was made flesh. You know, it's not hard to understand who Jesus was. He was God robed in flesh. The Word made flesh who came to dwell among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then it tells us in verse 15, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. John had that revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the one that was before Him and came after Him. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Lord came to bring forth that new covenant, a new covenant that He would bring forth in His blood, that we might come to Him. Oh, yes, that veil was ripped. Oh, yes, so that we could go directly into the presence of the Lord. That veil that concealed the Ark of the Covenant, that article in the tabernacle that represented the presence of the Lord. But praise the Lord, that veil that separated it between the holy place and the holiest of holies was ripped in twain so that we could enter in. It did not have to be concealed anymore, but we could come directly to the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, invite Him to be our Lord and Savior. So it tells us, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Oh, yes, remember how God told Moses that no man could look on my face and live? And, you know, He showed him His hinder part. He had him stand, you know, in a certain place. But he could look at the face of God and live. But He did send one. Oh, yes, He manifested Himself in flesh so that we could behold in Him as the Son of God. As it tells us, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Oh, yes, Jesus came to declare God. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, who art thou? And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked Him, what then? Art thou Elias? And He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And He answered, no. Then said they unto Him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And then He quoted from Isaiah 40. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And so they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they couldn't understand what it was all about. Of course, they didn't want to believe, did they? They didn't want to accept what John had to say. But here he was. He was bearing witness of them. He was bearing witness of Jesus Christ. And they're asking the skeptics, those that were sent to the Pharisees, to inquire. And they asked Him and said unto Him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe lasheth I am not worthy to unloose. It says these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, it tells us, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Oh, praise the Lord. He was bearing testimony that Jesus was the one that should come, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. John bear record of that. Praise the Lord. It was a wonderful thing. The proof came when John saw the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus. It was as he was baptized. He saw it. He didn't see a dove, but he saw it like a dove ascend upon Jesus, the Spirit of God. And he knew that that was the indicator that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. But praise the Lord, John bare witness of Jesus Christ. Now back to John, the 5th chapter. There was another that bore witness of Jesus Christ. Yes, John bore witness indeed to that fact. But there was another, as it tells us in verse 36. It says, But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. So the works that Jesus did were also a witness that he was indeed the Christ, the one that should come into the world. And I think how it was, again, I'll be going back to this chapter, Lord willing, but in the 11th chapter of Matthew, after John was put into prison, there came that moment where he just needed just somebody to encourage him, and he just needed, you know, just a little more strengthening at the moment. And so he had his disciples, two of them, come to Jesus and ask, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And how did Jesus answer this? Oh, yes. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Oh, and they witnessed the works that Jesus Christ did. Oh, and among them is listed in verse 5 here in Matthew 11, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Oh, all those indicators that Jesus Christ did. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Oh, yes, those works that Jesus did again and again and again bore witness. And I'm sure those two disciples came back to John, told them what Jesus had done, how the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, all the blind receive their sight, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Oh, yes, that was indicator enough. Those were signs enough. Oh, yes, I'm sure John understood. Oh, yes, that indeed Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then back to John, going to the 9th chapter for just a moment. There was another example that I wanted to bring forth for this blind man. Oh, yes, this man who had been blind from birth, and his disciples saw him. And they asked a question of Jesus, and the thing was, often they consider that if there's somebody with an impediment, like a blindness or whatever, that there was sin that caused it. So it was kind of stuck in their mind that, yeah, sin was the factor there. So they asked in verse 2 here in John 9, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And I like how Jesus responded. You see, he said, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Well, I'll tell you what, we go through things sometimes that we can't understand. But you know what? Who knows how God might be glorified in them. And sometimes if we're waiting on the Lord, you know, it seems like he waits for the very last moment to answer. But that's because that's when and how he would receive the more glory. Because, oh yes, he knows what it takes. Oh yes, for people to turn on their face towards God. Oh, for people to repent and turn to him. Or people to, oh yes, give him the glory that is due his name. So God was going to use this blind man who had been blind from his birth to give glory to his name. And you know, as it went on, Jesus spat on the ground, it tells us, and he made spittle of his spit from the ground and anointed that man's eyes with that spittle. And then he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And I'll tell you, that man did it. And because he obeyed, he came back seeing. He came back fully restored. Things that he had never seen before were suddenly visible before his very eyes. Oh, what a wonderful moment it was. But the skeptics were out there. Oh, yes, it was a Sabbath day. Oh, they wanted to make Jesus a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath day. And the neighbors who witnessed this were skeptics, obviously. They realized that he was the man that was blind and sat there and begged. But they didn't want to give God credit. They didn't want to give glory. Oh, they didn't want to see and understand. Oh, and they gave such a hard time. Oh, yes. And then, you know, they went to the Pharisees to just see what the Pharisees were going to say. And, of course, the Pharisees, oh, man, they were not believers for the most part. And besides, they're extremely critical of the Lord Jesus. And it had been the Sabbath day, and you know, so then they're going to, the Pharisees are now going to go to this man who had been blind and inquire of him, how is it, what is your story, how did this happen now? And, you know, he doesn't know a whole lot at the moment. He said, you know, he put clay upon my eyes and I washed and do see. And you know, some of those Pharisees, they said, well, this man is not a God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. And others said, how can a man as a sinner do such miracles? So there was division among them. And again, they're, you know, asking the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. And, you know, it just, again, the Jews, they just, don't want to believe it. They did not believe concerning him. It tells us in verse 18 that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. I'll tell you what, the parents aren't too eager either, and they'll say, yes, this is my son, he was born blind, we know that, but you know how he was made whole, we don't know. Go ask him, he's of age. Oh yes. So then they came to the man who was restored. Oh, yes. And he said in verse 24, well, as he answered what they asked in verse 24, again, they're stuck with that thought, that concept that he had to be a sinner. That's what caused the sin, caused the blindness. And they said, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. But he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no. And speaking of Jesus, talking about a shameful thought to consider Jesus a sinner. But this man answered, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Oh, what a wonderful thought. You know, we were all blind in our trespasses and sins. We were all out there one day without God and without hope. And how wonderful it was when Jesus made himself known unto us. And we could fall on our knees and cry out to him. And he so willingly, oh yes, so cheerfully, marvelously restored us, saved us, forgave us. Oh, what a wonderful day. Oh yes, we were so blind. Oh yes, but thank the Lord opened up our eyes so that we could see. Yes, gave us ears that we might hear, and a mind that we might perceive the things of God. So here they are, these skeptics, these unbelievers that don't want to believe, even though a miracle was done in their very sight. Oh, again, they're inquiring of this man, "What did he to thee?" In verse 26, "How opened he thine eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Should I repeat it again and again and again and again? Will you also be his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." Oh, I'll tell you what. They were not receiving Jesus, were they? But this man who was blind, there's something deep within him. And I can see why Jesus, chose to restore his vision, because on the inside, his spiritual insight too had been touched, obviously. This man says, as he answers in verse 30, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." He knew that. He knew that God had put faith in this man's heart. And then he says in verse 32, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." Oh, praise the Lord. And here we are too. We could do nothing without our God. But praise the Lord. Oh, this man was given insight. Not only spiritual, or not just natural sight, but also spiritual sight, that he might see and understand that Jesus was of God. Or otherwise he could do nothing. And again, oh yes, they answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. They cast him out of the synagogue. But praise the Lord, Jesus heard the story. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Oh, Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And I love how this man responded. He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we see all those people out there in the darkness, you know, that don't seem to understand or comprehend or even want to. We make all kinds of excuses, declare all kinds of things. But it's a wonderful thing if God has given us the ability to perceive the spiritual realities of his word. Oh yes, that we might believe on the Lord and follow after him and do his will. Oh yes, and Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Oh yes, his words were going to have an effect on the people. Either they were going to respond, or otherwise they were going to reject. And of course, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Oh, they could not honestly discern the condition of their heart. They could not see what was deep down inside. They could not realize that they needed to come to Him in repentance and turn their hearts, their lives over to Him. So their sin remaineth within them. Praise the Lord. So those works that Jesus Christ did, they did bear witness of Him. And oh, it's so beyond. We could read all those Gospels and know of the wonderful works that Jesus Christ did. But as it tells us in the 5th chapter of John again now, verse 37, there was another that bore witness of Him. It says in verse 37, "And the Father Himself, which hath sent Me, hath borne witness of Me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. And ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He has sent Him ye believe not." All the Father, the Creator, God, the Spirit that was in Jesus, bore witness of Him. We go back again to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. We'll read several ways how God bore witness. Jesus was indeed the Son of God. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, you look at the baptism of Jesus Christ. And we'll look at verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of Him. But John forbade Him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to Me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then He suffered and He allowed it. He could see that it was to fulfill all righteousness. And then it tells us in verse 16, "And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him." And we read this witness in the 1st chapter of John, but here it is in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, little different description, but the same thing, that witness that the Spirit of God came upon Jesus and lighting upon Him. And then that voice from heaven, verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Praise the Lord.
Praise
that
the Lord.
Voice, that witness, that verification that Jesus was the Son of God. Now also, if we go to the 17th chapter of Matthew, we see another witness. There it was when Jesus was transfigured. He took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain, and before them He was transfigured. Before them His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And there appeared with Him Moses and Elijah talking with Him. And of course Peter, seeing this, said in the 4th verse, "Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for Thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Not quite getting it at the moment. "While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Oh yes, God and indeed, again, verifying, witnessing that indeed Jesus was His beloved Son, in whom He was well pleased. And then He said, "Hear ye Him." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then there's one more witness I want you to see here tonight. If we go to the 12th chapter of John, and this is just slightly before Jesus was crucified, right before the Passover. We look at verse 23 here in John 12. It says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Oh, I'll tell you what. Oh, when we die to ourselves, when we die to that old man, then the Lord can take our life and begin to use us. You know, that kernel of corn, if it's just in a jar, nothing's going to happen to it. It's just going to stay there, that kernel. It's not going to do anything. It's going to look as nice as it ever looked, but it's not going to germinate. It's not going to grow. There's not going to be any fruit that comes forth. But if that corn kernel is put into the earth, or that corn of wheat or whatever we're trying to grow is put into the earth, oh yeah, so there's something that breaks through. A little embryo begins to break through, you know, that seed all at once. You know, you can see a little girl shooting forth a little green sprout, you know, one little leaf, and then, you know, two, and, you know, the stem grows a little more, and you see some more leaves. Oh yes, it's beginning to bring forth fruit. It's beginning to grow because, yes, it was planted into the earth. It died. And so it is with us. If, oh yes, we lose our life in Christ, we find it again in Him. Yes, so we die to ourselves, our old nature, the old man. We give our lives to the Lord. We abide in Him so that He can take us. And oh yes, that surrendered life that abides in the Lord Jesus, brings forth fruit. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in the 15th chapter of John. And so verse 25 here in John 12, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And here it is. Jesus knew that the time of the crucifixion was close at hand. And it tells us he was a man. He was both God and man. And with that flesh, oh, he could feel that trouble. You know, he no more wanted to be crucified than any of us would want to be. And he said in verse 27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Oh, that's why he came to this world. Oh, he came to this world that we might have life, and life more abundantly. He knew it would cost. He knew there would be a price that would be paid. It was his own life that he would give for the life of his people. Oh, and he knew it. He knew that there on the cross he would take our sins upon himself. Oh, our ugly, wretched sins. Oh, yes, those despicable things that we have done. Yes, he took them upon himself. And indeed, it was not easy. But there, as he is troubled, it says, his soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Oh, yes. Oh, his flesh would rather be relieved of it, wouldn't it? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And he said, Father, glorify thy name. And then, oh, the Father bore witness again. There came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Oh, that voice spake again from the heaven, witnessing that Jesus was indeed the Lord. Oh, did the people see and understand? Oh, some said that it thundered. Others said the angels spake unto him. Jesus said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Yet did they see and understand? I don't think so. And he said, now it was the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So praise the Lord. The Father bore witness of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then there was another witness as we go back to John 5, verse 39. Or let's look at verse 38 first. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him ye believe not. And then he said in verse 39, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Oh, we could go to place after place. Oh, yes, in those Old Testament scriptures. Oh, those were the words of life that verified that Jesus would come into the world, that prophesied that Jesus would come into the world. They testified of Jesus. Oh, there's so many places we could go. Oh, I could spend, hours, I dare say, going, revealing even a small portion of those verses. But it's all there. Oh, yes. Those wonderful utterances. Oh, from Micah, the 5th chapter in the 2nd verse, telling exactly where he would be born, in Bethlehem, Ephratah. Oh, yes, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Oh, yes, the Almighty One would come to this earth in the form of a man. Oh, yes, that we might have eternal life. Oh, yes, he would come forth. But all those revelations, we're familiar with Isaiah 53, the suffering that Jesus would have to endure for us. Psalms 22, Psalm 69, all the things that he bore for us. The shame, the reproach. Oh, yes, as he was there on that cross. Oh, yes, atoning for our sins. But all those utterances, oh, yes. Oh, yes, that was given that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Oh, praise the Lord. It's just all over Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a king that reigns even now. Oh, yes, they did try to crucify him. Yes, they did crucify him. But I'll tell you what, that crucifixion could keep him down. Oh, yes, death did not keep him down. Oh, yes, his body did not know decay. It did not rot. But, oh, yes, the resurrecting power resurrected our God, our Savior, the one who came to this world, oh yes, to atone for our sin, and he lives. Oh yes, he lives in our hearts. Oh yes, and here we are, also privileged to acknowledge him. Oh yes, so many other scriptures bore witness. Isaiah 35 is such a thrilling place too, where all the miracles, so many of the miracles that Jesus would bring forth were declared. Oh yes, Isaiah 35, just turning here for a moment. Verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Oh, yes, the hope of our salvation, the gift of the Holy Ghost, those living waters that would come. Oh, yes, and come into our heart, our life to change us. Oh, yes. Oh, God, thank the Lord to make us, suitable to meet the Lord. Oh, the parched ground shall become a pool, the thirsty land springs of water, the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Oh, praise the Lord, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Oh, yes, the redeemed walk on that highway of holiness. And it says in verse 10, Oh, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, praise the Lord, what the Lord puts in our hearts, that hope too that we have, that everlasting joy. You know, that joy of salvation that He gives us is not for just this moment, but it's an everlasting joy. It's a joy that has no end. Oh, yes. Oh, fully being realized when we stand before our God in the realms of heaven. Oh, yes, before that throne. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. But all those prophetic utterances, oh, Isaiah 12, which is so beautiful as it declares, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I shall trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Praise the Lord. Yes, our God put on that robe of flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. And it says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Oh, yes, we've got something. Oh, that well of living water welling up within us. You know, it's got to have all this. You know, we've got to praise the Lord. We've got to worship Him. There's got to be something, you know, that comes, that bursts out of our soul. If we've been redeemed, if we've been saved, it says, sing unto the Lord. For He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, yes, it has to burst, doesn't it? Those wells of living water have to go somewhere. Oh, and praise the Lord, we can rejoice. Yes, it was prophesied that day. Oh, yes, there's going to be something that comes forth. We're not going to be able to contain it. It's got to come out. There's got to be an outlet. We're going to say, praise the Lord, call you upon His name, declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Oh, praise the Lord. Those wonderful declarations that were made. Oh, yes, to bear witness. So as it tells us in John, the 5th chapter, search the scriptures. Oh, it was all contained in there. They would have looked in there. They would have searched the scriptures. Those Pharisees, those scribes. Oh, there was no doubt. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was and is the Son of God. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. All the scriptures bore witness that Jesus was indeed the Christ. But Jesus said in verse 40 of John 5, and you will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive. Oh my. And here we are today. Oh, there's a people that are looking for a Messiah. They are looking and expecting a Messiah to come soon. A Jewish people over in that land of Israel, an Israeli state. There's people that, you know, they're preparing for a Messiah. But they didn't receive Jesus. And he declared, I am come in my Father's name. Ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Looks to me that they're going to receive a false Messiah, proclaimed a Messiah, somebody who himself declares that he is such. But Jesus didn't bear witness of himself. Oh, yes, John bore witness of him. The works that he did bore witness of him. The Father bore witness of him. The scriptures bore witness of him. And then the one that they trusted, these Jewish people, as this chapter comes to completion here, says, How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Oh, they thought they were Moses's, offspring, all right. They trusted him, but he said, For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Oh, yes, Moses had bore witness of him. And one very specific scripture is found in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, in the 18th verse, where God said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And verse 19 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what our background is. We're not saved without Jesus Christ. You can't think just because you're a certain pedigree, or race, or sex, or whatever that gives you special privileges with God. No, we're saved by grace, not by race. And praise the Lord, it comes because we have believed on the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have submitted our lives to him. That's why we're saved, because we came to him. But here, Moses wrote, and there are other places too that bore witness, even in the third chapter of Genesis, the 15th verse, in the 49th chapter of Genesis, the 10th verse. But here in Deuteronomy, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Oh, that's it. If you don't receive Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Jesus said in John 8 chapter, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. There is no other substitute for salvation than our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other that paid the price. There's no other that has that claim that truly can say that he is the Christ. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ was in the Father, and the Father in him. Yes, he came unto his own. His own received him not. Yes, he was in the world that was made by him, but the world didn't know him. Thank God to them that received him. Oh, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so it was said, going back to what I read there in Isaiah 43, that we are his witnesses. And as we read there in Isaiah 43, let all the nations be gathered, the ninth verse, together. Let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses. Jesus brought forth his witnesses. There were witnesses to verify that he truly was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, the one that should come into the world. He was that prophet that God raised up like unto Moses. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. See, no wonder Jesus said, that you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. He was the same. He is the one that is spoken of here in Isaiah. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Oh, there is none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are His children, there will be witnesses in our life that we truly are the children of God. Going now to 1 John, the 5th chapter. As I begin to close this message, John, 1 John, the 5th chapter. It says, and this is near the end of the Old Testament here, the three epistles that John wrote here later, after the Gospel. So it says in verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." He, again, you know, Jesus, "except that you believe that I am He, He shall die in your sins. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bear witness." The Spirit, all that He puts into our hearts, because the Spirit is truth. "For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." And let me just stop here. Yes, there's three manifestations that bear witness in heaven. Three ways that God has revealed Himself. He is revealed as the Father, as the Creator. He is revealed as the Word, as we read from John the 1st chapter. "That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. Glory is of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then He's revealed as the Holy Ghost, that Spirit that comes to dwell in our lives, that Spirit that He sent forth on the day of Pentecost. And then in our own lives, it says in verse 8, "There are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." I tell you, in our own lives, when the Holy Ghost is in our lives, that Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God. Romans 8th chapter verse 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Oh yes, that Spirit of God that comes into our life, that resurrecting power. Oh yes, that Holy Ghost that comes to dwell within our very earthen vessels. That Spirit verifies that we are the children of God, that Spirit of adoption that comes to us. Oh yes, that ghost that Jesus gave up on the cross, that we might receive it on the day of Pentecost and from henceforth. So the Spirit bears witness, and the water bears witness. And I'll tell you what, just turning here for just a moment to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 21, where it says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. But I'll tell you, that water bears witness. Oh, yes. It's not, you don't go down in that water just, you know, for the sake of a filth of the flesh. But there's something else that happens. It gives us a good conscience toward God, because those sins are taken. They are totally remitted in those waters of baptism. When we go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, those sins are remitted, so that we now have a good conscience toward God. It's all cleared. There's no more price. There's no more penalty. It's all taken care of. We're freed by the saving grace of our Lord. Praise the Lord. And the blood, all that precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we know that we were not saved. We were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from our vain conversation, received by tradition from our fathers. But we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, that blood, that cry of the blood that cries out and verifies that we are the children of God. Oh yes, that price, that penalty has been paid. Oh yes, that we might come to him. Oh yes, and I praise the Lord, we can bear witness. Our lives can bear witness that Jesus is indeed that one that should come into the world. We can bring it forth. We can bring forth that witness. Yes, because we've obeyed the gospel. Yes, we came to him in repentance. Oh, yes, and that blood cleansed us from our sins. We went down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. That water cleared our conscience. And then that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that spirit of adoption that bears witness that we are the children of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it's not going to be pedigree. It's not going to be race that saves us. No, but it's that blood of Jesus Christ, that redemption. Oh, yes, that price that he paid, that we might be his sons and daughters, that we might know him as our Lord and Savior, that we might be cleansed from all our filthy deeds, all those rotten things that we did. Oh yes, and we didn't know the Lord, and we're wandering around there in our sins and in our misery. Oh, praise the Lord for what he did. And oh yes, that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, that he would put his spirit in us, that he would lead us and guide us into all truth. Oh yes, that we could be his very own, that spirit of adoption that comes into our heart to bear witness that we are his sons and his daughters. Oh, praise the Lord, we cry, Abba Father. Oh, Daddy. Oh, our Savior, our God. Oh yes, our Father, our Heavenly Father, who purchased us and made us his own, that we could be heirs to the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to sing around that throne. We're going to worship around that throne. We're going to rejoice around that throne. We're the redeemed. Oh yes, of the Lord. No, we have so much. Oh yes, to praise him for. Oh yes, we have so much to worship him for. Oh, praise the Lord for what he has done. Oh, praise our Lord. Praise our God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Jesus, for that price that you paid, Lord. Oh, Lord, you bore witness that you were indeed the Son of God. Oh, God, you put it within us, Lord, that we too might be your sons and daughters. Oh, Lord, that we too might have that testimony. Oh, Lord, that we are yours. Oh, God, move in our hearts. Oh, God, motivate us, lead us, guide us, direct us. Oh, God, and get us to that place, oh, Lord, that we might rejoice, oh, Lord, forever before that throne, oh, Lord Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, we now have an opportunity at this very moment to bear witness of what Jesus has done for us. Let's turn to our hymnals and sing number 127, Jesus Paid It All, number 127.
Jesus paid it all.